Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Fear not, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Not just great, very great. Genesis 15, verse 1. This is what our Lord said to Abraham. Abram at this point of the story, but we all know him as Abraham. And this is our sermon text this morning because this is exactly what our God has said to each and every one of you too. He said it to you in Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb. There on the cross is your shield for battle. The dead and the bloodied body of Jesus Christ displayed for all to see outside of Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. There is the protection from the punishment you deserve, hanging boldly, defending you from God's wrath. Your belief in the Lord, in his word, his promise to take your punishment, to take your place, and give you a very great reward. There it's attributed to you as righteousness through faith in Jesus as you believe. Perfection and joy, they are yours through the perfect life and love of God's Son, Yahweh in the flesh, incarnate, Jesus of Nazareth, who's taken your punishment under God's good and holy law. He is your defender. He is your savior. This is why God tells you, fear not. As a Christian, there is nothing for you to fear in this life. Not a single thing for you to fear. Your greatest enemy, the one that you would fear if there was anything to fear, the all-powerful God who created you and can destroy you, he has become your best friend. He has become your greatest ally. No. He has become your father. You, his child, that he loves. You've been baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection, adopted into God's holy family. The punishment you deserve because of your transgressions, because in your sinful ways you told your dad to take a hike and go pound sand and you don't need him. The punishment you deserve for being that rebellious teenage punk to your divine father, it's already been carried out. You've already been punished. Jesus took what was coming to you on the cross. He took your place. And now you receive what he receives, God's love. The merit for a perfect, obedient life. This is why Jesus instituted the preaching of his gospel and the distribution of the Lord's Supper and baptism to continually remind you that your Father loves you. That you are his. You are a criminal, yes. You are a sinner, of course, indeed, absolutely. You are an outlaw, guilty of going against God. It is true. But your blood has already been spilt. Your pound of flesh has already been weighed. Jesus willingly took the lethal injection that had your name on it. He sat in the electric chair that was reserved for you. He stood in front of the firing squad that you deserve. He is your shield. When you believe his word that you are forgiven, that you have been pardoned, there is no more threat involved. There is no more punishment to be meted out. The gospel reigns for each and every one of you. On judgment day, you'll receive no punishment. The judge will pronounce for all to hear clearly that you are not guilty. you can be confident in that promise. As St. John wrote, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. But this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence, confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. 1 John 4:16-18. This is the word of the Lord. This is the truth. In this love of God, we find confidence and are not afraid of judgment day. Those who don't believe should be shaking in their boots about judgment day, for they have rejected their pardon, and they will receive bad news, guilty. And even though we continue to sin, we don't reject our forgiveness. We don't reject our pardon. We don't continue sinning on purpose. But we know all of our transgressions, past, present, and future, have been washed away in the flood of baptism. As St. John says earlier in his first letter, if anyone does sin, know this. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 John 2:1. Don't let the devil get in your head and say, you sinned again. You're going to hell now. No. I have an advocate with the Father. The best lawyer in town represents me. So today I want you to consider whether you're living in confidence. Let's be confident people, Christians, bold in our faith. Are you confident in the grace that God has shown you in Christ's sacrifice? I love that we have a Christus Rex in our church. Many churches have a crucifix, and that's great. But ours has our Lord in the shape of his death, our penalty, but not defeated, reigning as king, confidently the ruler of this world, the ruler of your hearts. Are you living confidently in the promise you have been given? That he's yours and you're his? If so, then let your lives reflect your fearless certainty of salvation. You'll be unstoppable preachers of Jesus to all who will listen to you, who will see you, daily proclaiming God's word in your what you say, your speech, but also in your actions as you just carry on your day, doing nothing special, just being you. The good news of Christ's death and resurrection just flowing off. Everything you do, saturated in Christ for everyone around you to see. Come what may, who cares? I'm Jesus's. He owns me. Jesus's? That's always a weird word to say. Jesus's. Luther said it this way when he wrote to his fellow Reformation brother-in-arms, Peter Melanchthon, if you are a preacher of God's mercy, do not preach an imaginary mercy, but the true mercy. If the mercy is true, you must therefore truly be a sinner in need of mercy, not an imaginary sinner. God does not save those who are only imaginary sinners. Here it is. Be a sinner. Let your sins be strong. But let your trust in Christ be stronger. That's what Luther says. If you're worried, if you're afraid of judgment day, amp up your trust in Christ. Don't let the devil highlight your sins. Stand up there, gather them all up, and say, yeah, these are mine. What of it? I trust in Jesus, and I'm dumping them all on him. So stop talking to me. Be a sinner. Let your sins be strong. Let your trust in Christ be stronger. And rejoice, Luther says, in Christ, who is the victor, the king, over sin, death, and this world. Luther continues to say, we will commit sins while we are here. It's just a fact. For this life is not a place where justice resides. However, Luther points out, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:13, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Not because it's eternal, but because it's a place where justice resides. Where we will know justice forever. It just so happens to also be eternal. It suffices that through God's glory, we have recognized the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. No sin can separate you from Him. Even if you were to murder and commit adultery 1,000 times a day, Luther says. Do you think such an exalted Lamb as Christ Jesus paid merely a small price with a meager sacrifice for our sins? Jesus didn't die because you're kind of a sinner. He died because you're a dirty, rotten, filthy, no good sinner. And says, be one, so the devil will be silenced. He only came for sinners. And that may be hard to hear and different from what you're used to. But the reality is we're going to sin, and we're going to sin daily, and we're going to sin much. Don't let that take away your confidence in Judgment Day. Because then you'll be afraid to be the Christian you've been made into. When you can confront your sin, as you do at the beginning of every divine service, every single time we gather together, you sit there and you confess that you are a sinner. That silences the devil. And then you hear that you have been forgiven. That's where our fear not comes from. That's where our confidence comes from. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross to take away not just your little infractions, but every single one of your sins, big and small? Trust Him. He loves you. He loved you before you were this nice, shiny Christian person you think you are. He loved you when He looked down and saw you dead in the gutter, a sinner without Him. And He reached down and He pulled you up and He wiped off all the chewing gum and the wrappers and the garbage that's in the gutter. I just cleaned out my gutters. There's a lot of junk in there. He cleaned it all off and He said, yes, I do love this person. I loved this person when they were covered in that filth, and I love them now too. And I have made them holy. I have made them shiny, clean, and new. Trust in your God. He is stronger than all your sins. Most Christians in our country today, it would seem, live as if God is dead. They have no trust in Him. As if Jesus died on the cross. Yes, of course. Died on the cross, was laid in a tomb, and is still there, rotten. Decaying corpse. Practically, that's how most of us live. And if that were true, then the lack of Christian zeal and the lack of doctrinal integrity that we see in the world would be understandable. As Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, if it's just about this life, we are of all people the most to be pitied. It's in that resurrection where we find hope. The words of Feuerbach, Marx, Nietzsche, Sartre, Camus, Darwin, and so many others have convinced us, as Nietzsche said, that God is dead, practically speaking. Sure, Christians today say they believe in Jesus. When asked in some private, comfortable little setting where we know we're not going to get hurt, we might confess Him to be our God around certain members of our circle. But a good majority of our lives contradict that occasional confession. Today, practically speaking, we live as though we lost the war. That we're not fierce warriors. That Jesus isn't the victor. We live like conquered slaves serving the secular non-God God of humanism. Scientism, naturalism, and anthropocentrism, I said it, rule over our thoughts and actions. And make it seem as if the Enlightenment thinkers truly did defeat the Ancient of Days. Is Nietzsche and Marx, are they so powerful that they could truly slay the triune God? Is he done? Are we the most to be pitied among all men? God said, fear not. God said, he is our shield, our very strength, power. But it seems as if we're afraid if anyone knows that we believe in Jesus, they'll attack us with their beliefs in that non-God God of theirs, proving our greatest fear to be true. Proving that Christ really did die, yeah, but that he never got up. What if he's still dead? What if all of this has been a lie? And I'm just not smart enough to realize it. What if I believe in a fairy tale? And all those enlightened minds out there that tell me Jesus is just for the ignorant and the people who need more confidence in life and need to feel the warm and fuzzy. What if they're right? Repent of your cowardice, I say. Repent and believe not only that Christ was crucified, yes, he was, but that he got up. That his Father resurrected him from the grave on the third day, as history testifies. Repent and believe. Believe that God's word triumphs over man's word. Repent of believing liberal thought that would tell us that God is dead, that overrides the logos, God in the flesh. Repent and believe in rational logic and then use it to tell them he is alive. Jesus Christ lives. And let the Spirit prove he's stronger than sin. We're in a battle with Beelzebub and with the world spirit of our age. And we have been losing. We've been losing for decades, if not longer. Our war consists of the way we think and the way we live and the way we act. For far too long, the Christian church has accommodated the spirit of the world, permitting the culture out there, the culture all around us, to bend our beliefs to their ways. The number one instrument the culture uses is missions, evangelism. We feel like we have to cater to what the world's doing in order to reach them. We've got to stop thinking like that. It should be our Bible-backed beliefs in the resurrection of Christ that transforms the world. We got to bring Jesus out there. Yes, be all things to all people, everything to everyone, but without losing Jesus. And when I say the church is losing ground and the church is acting as if we're losers in the war, I don't mean some abstract they. This isn't a they say, they this, they that. Not some nondescript institution somewhere other than here. No, I mean us. Wherever we've been throughout our lives up to this point, we are the church where we are. Together, we are the church in this place. The more the church becomes one with the contemporary postmodern world that thinks God is dead, the more we compromise God's message of life. The church, us, we, you, have been changed. And you have been charged to live a daily life that communicates Christ Jesus is alive and well. He is your Lord. That you have been made new creatures formed in the image of Jesus, reborn in the waters of baptism, and alive with the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, drinking the milk of his word and eating the meat of his supper at the altar. We've been tasked with convicting the world of its sin. Let's do that. Let's proclaim the truth of God's word to the people around us right now, those who are in our lives already, who've been taken captive by the enemy. If they do not believe in Jesus, they're not just Sweden or Switzerland or Switzerland. They're not just Switzerland, thank you. There's no neutral. You're either with Jesus or you're with Satan. The thing is, they don't realize it. They're enemy combatants. They've been taken captive. They used to be God's children. In sin, they were taken over by the devil. They are prisoners of war. Let us liberate them with our Lord's word. Does this mean you'll have to engage your neighbors with truth? Yeah. Does it mean it's going to be hard to say sometimes? Yeah. Does it mean they may hate you? Yeah. Fear not. Fear not. God is alive and he has sent you, his Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is active and powerful. You have nothing to fear. Jesus truly rose from the dead. That cannot be disproven. People have tried for 2,000 years. It is locked down. Have confidence that your God is more powerful than even the grave. He is more powerful than anything you will face. He is more powerful than your own sinful heart. So have confidence for the coming day of judgment, where you will be declared not guilty. Have confidence and fear not. For the Lord says, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.